Good morning.
Morning.
Appreciate very much loving your presence and yours as well, John. And John hesitated just a moment. He started to say, in his love, he said, love. You know, we see the love of Christ in his life. That's not a mistake. We see the love of Christ in his willingness to give his blood, that we would not have to die in our sins. That's a good segue of connection to what I plan to teach you this morning. God willing, I'll have the words and ways of maybe pricking you in your hearts. You know, when you receive the word of God, it's going to prick you in your heart. Not me, but him. What do we have in Christ? So I aim to tell you some of the many things I would not permit in this hour, not even in this one and the next, to focus on all that we have in Christ Jesus. Indeed, the Gospel of John concludes we're not going to be able to fill the world with books that would describe and tell all the things about Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to have a Heavenly Father and to have a Son of His, the King of the world. We have things in Christ Jesus. Many things, let's look a few. In 1 John, the second chapter, 4 through 6 and 28, 1 John is excellent. These short epistles to tell us things about it. What we have in Christ Jesus and who we are. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not a bold and dark statement. We have to keep his commandments to say that we are in him and know him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Now little children abide in him, and he will stay. So that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So we have confidence in Jesus Christ. And we do not have shame. We are in him. We are walking in that light. In Colossians 1 and 17, we find that he, Christ, is before all things, and in him all things hold together. They're bound up in a good way. So all things hold together in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 3 and 9, and they be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. Notice the distinction. The old law is gone. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, is saying he doesn't have these things in Christ through the law, but rather, this is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. So we have righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 12, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You will seek your words in him, in Jesus, Christ, we have the name of our Lord Jesus Christ glorified in you. Glorified in you and you in you. In the second letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, the second church of Corinthians, in 13 and 4, for indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward me. Obviously, I've underlined it, highlighted the text, but I'm wanting to bring to your attention, we will live with him. We've got to be in the King, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. I said this a few times in our Bible studies. We must be in him to be in the kingdom, because the kingdom is the church, is his body. And if we want to enjoy the protection of the King against all enemies, foreign and domestic, in the house, outside of the house of faith, we have Christ Jesus if we are in him. We also have this promise that we'll live in him. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 5, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge. 2 Corinthians 1, 19 and 20, for the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who is preached among you, by us, by men Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen. To the glory of God for us. Amen means so be, let it be so. This is an expression that is misused too much. A little bit too much. But so often when people use the expression by God, let us use it spiritually and scripturally correctly. By God, by God's power, by faith in God, through Christ Jesus, we can do these things. Through him is our amen. By God, let it be so. That's the correct thinking of the expression. We are enriched in him, in all speech, and through him is our amen. Amen. Let it be so forth as you go on the life. In Romans 8, 1, 2, and verse 39 as well, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Nor height, I encourage you to read the whole chapter, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. My God, let it be so. What a blessing then to say that in Christ Jesus there is no longer condemnation. Whatever you were is now gone. You're a new creation. You're washed. You're made clean. You're sanctified, which means made holy if you're in Christ Jesus. Conversation that I had in Bible study, a dialogue with a brother in Christ, a babe in Christ in York, after meeting with Larry Craig, he's going to be very brief and say, the pain that people who are outside of the Lord and even who have had difficulties, trauma that they've dealt with, and trying to understand how to wrap their head around this, why the Lord? And here was a brother in Christ wanting to ask some of those questions. So here is where we need to point one another, to point ourselves, to make sure we are looking at what we have in Christ and saying, yes, but as I put it, to our brother Daniel. I won't mention his last name. Sometimes others put a heavy weight on our backs. It seems insurmountable. How will we carry it? As our brother Shane just prayed Sometimes this is difficult, but we know that we will not have more than we can handle, and that God provides the means of escape also. While God is not tempting us, He allows it to be so because of the refinement, looking for that fine person. Still, we sometimes wonder why me, or why in my life, or why did this happen at this moment, or why does this keep happening? Sometimes people put burdens on us that we feel we cannot carry. But it's important that we say, okay, this battle, this burden, I'm giving back to the one who did it. We know that sometimes bad, evil people in the world do bad things. But the encouragement that I want to look at is we no longer have condemnation for our sins. We have relief, and we have peace, and we have hope. If we come out of that, if we reject that, then some obviously we do bring upon ourselves. We have our own bags that we put on ourselves. Christ Jesus gives us the way to keep taking those off. In fact, they're all removed in His eyes. In His eyes. We get the love of God through Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 10, you therefore, my son, Paul is writing to his beloved brother that he sometimes refers to as his son in faith, Timothy. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So we can have strength in the grace in Christ Jesus. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and live in eternal glory. I ask you again, do you see how often you hear of these glorious, wondrous, and wonderful things in Jesus, in Him, in Christ Jesus? There's salvation in God. So we now have as well salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. That's a baggage delivery. That's the mortgage delivery of seeded tomatoes because they're so big. Such is the love, it can't be plumb, the depth of it. You've got to see the plumb bob. You can't find the depth of the love. And nothing can separate us from that. Nothing. We don't want to meet that. There's nothing in the world that can separate me from that. Why would anyone ever want to be back in for that condemnation? Go back and wallow in the same mire. In Colossians 2, and verses 6 and 7, and then 9 through 11, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now, this is not something we're getting, but we are supposed to continue to walk in Christ. Stay in the kingdom. Don't walk away. Don't go any wall, as I put it. Absent without leave. You're not given permission to go and do whatever you want. Remember the scripture that teaches us that looking into the Holy Word is like looking into a mirror? The foolish are those who would look into the Bible, that mirror, that perfect mirror, and then turn, walk away. The image in the mirror didn't walk, but the mirror didn't leave. But the individual leaves and forgets what he has learned. We should not be that way. So let the study show results approved. A workman, a workwoman, that needeth not be ashamed. I never be not ashamed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is God's power unto salvation, first to the Jew, they have first opportunity, first gifts, and then to the Greek for the Gentiles. That's probably all of us. Everybody have opportunity. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude, thank you, Lord, that you canceled my debt and you continue to. Please don't wear thin on your patience. Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. For in Him all the fullness of deity, the Godhead, dwells in Him in bodily form. And in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And in Him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands and the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Paul is writing to these Christians at Colossae that they have a spiritual circumcision. So not the removal of flesh, but the body of flesh, meaning the sin, and believing the hardness of our hearts is cut and taken away. At that point when we believe that we accept that the gospel is true, that we were sinners, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we've reached an age of accountability where we know right from wrong, and we know that we have chosen the wrong, and often that we have chosen the wrong for too long, and that we don't have to stay there. We don't have to stay in the muck and the swamp. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of my pit, and He set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, song of praise. At this point, the alien sinner, the one lost in sins, would be realizing, this is what I have done. Some things are terrible, and there are other sins. Plenty of baggage that I put on myself. I no longer want to be that kind of a person. I no longer want to pay for my own debt. I want the blood of Jesus Christ to pay that debt for me. I want to be in Jesus so that that debt will be paid. Because the debt is too great, the burden is too much, and there's nothing I can do in and of myself to earn what's already been bought. If it is a gift, I cannot earn it. That is true. That does not cancel out obedience to the gospel. At that point, then, I stand ready, pricked in the heart, knowing who I am, that my sins are naked or laid bare before the Lord. He sees, He knows who I am. I'm speaking of the old sinner or the alien sinner. Men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do with that? If I've got a debt I cannot pay, and that debt, well, the wages of sin is debt, spiritual debt, the second debt, and I don't want to have to pay it myself, I can't, what do we do? We crucify Christ with our sins. And then we fall. So we now have added to our list salvation, which is in Christ Jesus and with an eternal glory. We are built up in Him and established in our faith. We are made complete. We are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, a spiritual cutting away of a callous, dirty, hard bag that is over our hearts. In Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Peace with God, redemption and forgiveness of our trespasses in His blood. He shed His blood at His death. How do I get into Christ? I taught a lesson a month ago. The only burden of getting into Christ and getting into His death is guilt. Or bad blood. So how do I get into Christ? In order to get into His death, where the blood was shed, there is the big question. In 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, He must move along. And this mortal will have put on immortality. Then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Only if we are on that. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are a team, we want to win. We want to be on the winning team. The only winning team when it comes to salvation is on Christ's team. The body of believers. The nation, the spiritual nation over which He is the King. We want to be there. And then we will have that victory. See, then Jesus' victory that He bought, paid for, and that He won, and is the champion of, another reference to a sermon I gave earlier. Now we get to share in the glory of that victory. In immortality, we put up this physical, mortal one, and can put on God's mortality when the time comes. Give me some of that. You heard that expression? I want that. Victory. Before this was the peace sign, it was a victory sign. World War II. In Christ Jesus, we have both. Peace. Victory. Peace of God, which passes all understandings, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want that. I want to be there. How to? So, what He has, those are things that we have if we are in Christ in Colossians 1:19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. Jesus has all the fullness of being in Him. Something else Jesus has, and this is winding up to the conclusion, and the answer to our question. In Matthew 28, and if you can find the first of the four Gospels, turn until you get to the end. You'll find the chapter. Even if you don't know numbers or remember places, I encourage you to put the Lord.
Care on the street.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Something else that Jesus has. All authority has been given to him. All. It was given by the Father. We could give it. The King of Kings is going to stay on his throne. And we are called upon, if we are in Christ Jesus, to just be the best, humble, warrior servants that we can be. That's what we're asked to do. Serve the King. That's what we would do. Love, honor, praise God Almighty and Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. All authority is given to him, heaven and earth. As some brothers told me when I was, I don't know, I had yet made the decision to be converted, to be baptized into Christ for the remission, to put back on that gift for the remission of my sins, to put back on the cross for the die. That they pointed out, this is all authority. Listen to the next thing he's saying. The King is speaking. He has all authority, all the power to do so. He's about to tell us what to do. Make disciples. How do we do it, Lord? Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go therefore and make disciples. The question then is back to it. Men and brethren, what shall we do? That's in Acts. We have four Gospels. Then Romans, or I'm sorry, Acts and Romans. The Acts of the Apostles is going to give you 8 examples of conversion in that one book, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And in the first chapter, they're viewed with power from on high, and then Peter is given the opportunity that Jesus promised when he said, I say that you are Peter. On this bedrock, not really, my church. What had Peter just been fed? I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter stands up in Acts, in the book of Acts, on Pentecost, and preaches and Christ to all of them, preaches him crucified where his death was, preaches him on the cross and what their sin had done to the King, yet he lived again. And when they asked, what shall we do? He said, repent that every one of you be baptized for the remission. For you, it's for all who are far off. So, do we want to have confidence and not shame? Be held together, have righteousness? Be glorified, the name of Christ glorified in us, that we will live with him, enriched in him? No condemnation, have the love of God in him, strength in the grace in Christ Jesus, salvation which is in him and in no other, and with an eternal glory, built up in him, established in our faith, made complete, circumcised spiritually, have the bag cut off of our hearts, have peace with God, redemption, and forgiveness of our trespasses, and the victory. So, I introduce this thought. Often as we go for business, what can you do for me? What can you give? Or what do you have? Or what are you selling? Or what are you offering? What do I get for my money? The cost that you have to give up yourself, you're giving it to the kingdom of God and a lifetime of service in that kingdom. What am I going to get? It's only a few of the things. Boundless, measureless business. You have in mind what you want. Is it victory in Christ Jesus? Our lives and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Call me.